to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
What's your contribution going to be? What problems are you going to solve? What discoveries will you make?
I intend to broadcast from this ship 24 hours a day until the day I die. And then for a couple days after that.
No one's written your destiny for you. You make your own future.
I've always lived for news and weather. Happy to dive into, especially the weather.
The 4th of July is fast approaching. Also called Independence Day, or the day of the birth of our country, this day sparks thoughts about America and the love of our country, patriotism. The dictionary definition of patriotism is the love and devotion to one's home country. Not everyone shares this love, and some have it to a higher degree than others. And not everyone agrees on what it means to be patriotic. Tonight, we will be asking guests and listeners to tell us how they define patriotism, and what does patriotism mean to you.
I'm Izzy.
And I'm Gabby.
And you're listening to Blunt Youth Radio, award-winning youth radio since 1994. This is a show where we really want to hear from your listeners. If you want to share with us your opinions or thoughts on patriotism and what it means to be patriotic, call 780-4909. That's 780-4909. We'd love to speak with you. And today on the show, we'll be talking to ordinary people about patriotism. All right, we'll be talking to some guests in a second.
One thing that came to mind when we were first talking about patriotism was the controversy over the Confederate flag.
Yes, that's a big one. There's a lot of people who are offended by it.
And there are lots of people, mainly in the South, who still feel very strongly that it represents their culture.
I feel like it's a lot of miscommunication about, like, what people think it means. Like, everyone thinks it means a different thing.
Right, like, we were reading about it, and when I think of the Confederate flag, I think it's, like, the symbol of the Confederate Army during...
Okay, so, yeah, we have our first guest.
We have our first guest, Connor Beck.
Hello.
Hi, Connor. Welcome.
Glad to be here.
Connor is, he just graduated high school from South Portland High School. He's a fantastic friend of mine. And he agreed to talk to us today about what he thinks about patriotism, because he's just a generally opinionated man.
I'll take that as a compliment, I guess.
So the first question we have for you, Connor, is, do you consider yourself patriotic?
No.
All right.
Probably not. I mean, it's just, I think that sort of, in America, we kind of think that we have to be patriotic because we have all these freedoms. And although those freedoms are important, there are lots of countries that have some of the freedoms that we do, and I think they kind of look at us in America and think that we're kind of, I don't know, weird by how we're sort of jingoistic about everything.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think patriotism is? Like, what do you think it means to people in America? What do you think it means personally to you? Like, what would you define it as?
I'd probably define it as a response to basically, it's basically a way to cover yourself from thinking about what exactly you're doing. I mean, patriotism is sort of an excuse to not really think about some of the deeper political issues a lot of the time.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like with the Iraq War, lots of people would have, you know, would hang ribbons or have bumper stickers saying support our troops, and although that's an important message, I think a lot of the time those people wouldn't really think about what the troops were there for. And I know it might seem a little bit unfair to say that, but I think that sometimes patriotism is sort of an excuse to have a dialogue about America's role in the world, but it's not really a serious conversation.
Yeah,
and you talked about people who say support our troops and then thinking about why troops are actually being deployed and what they're doing in other countries.
Yeah, we were talking a little bit before about how kind of like the default like thing about our troops is like they're fighting for your rights. But like, you know, the military does a lot of things.
So
not all of them are fighting for our rights.
Would you agree that, you know, the military's current main goal at this point is going out and fighting for our freedoms and our rights? Would you say that's a truthful statement?
No, I mean, a lot of the time we're fighting for other people's rights, whether or not they necessarily want them to be fought for. So that sort of puts an interesting, you know, perspective on what we're doing, and it makes our once again, jingoistic look on military a little bit bad, because it really makes an excuse for some behavior and policies that are, you know, bad for the world.
Yeah, and going back a little bit, I kind of agree with what you were saying about how a lot of patriotism is just people's, like, blind devotion to America. But I also don't think it's impossible to be, like, educated about the issues and what's going on in your country and still, like it and want to improve it and stuff like that. But you definitely had a point there. What are your opinions on the Pledge of Allegiance? Do you think it's a good thing to do? Do you think we should get rid of it?
It was actually an interesting conversation, and lots of people that I feel really respect that are not totally super patriotic still think that the Pledge of Allegiance is a good way to show that we still have, you know, some belief about America, that we have something right here that we don't have other places. And I think that if not doing the Pledge of Allegiance, I don't necessarily think that I'm the biggest fan of it. I think that if you refrain from doing it, you should do so in a way that you should maybe, you know, explain why you're doing it in a way that's, you know, not necessarily insulting of other people who do it, but basically say, I don't really think that America is a place to have liberty for all and is not fighting for everybody. But it's one of those things where I think that you get offended a lot of the time when people are against the Pledge of Allegiance. But it's just this sort of fake emotion thing. Because I think a lot of the times people do the Pledge of Allegiance and it's this whole American pride thing. We don't even know why we're saying it. And it's all sort of part of this costume of patriotism. And I think a lot of the time it's kind of respect.
Yeah, so
what's like the biggest thing you would change about the Pledge of Allegiance? Like, if you could change one, like, wording section, like, what do you think is the biggest, like, outrage, I guess? Or what would you want to change the most?
I mean, at the risk of saying what probably every other person would say, under God, because we're supposed to have a separation of, you know, church and state. But I think that's sort of an important thing as well. Although God is kind of has a pretty major place in patriotism to the point where even when it's on our money, which is, you know, I think it's sort of against, you know, religious values to have, you know, religion based on money. People still get upset about the idea of God not being on money because we think it's, you know, part of America now. But I think it just sort of connects religion to a part of their culture that it shouldn't necessarily be there.
Yeah. Separation of church and state is a big thing, but I've heard some people who are like, well, God is kind of unspecific. You can just apply it to your personal God, but that, like, excludes, like, atheists and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I also I Googled the dictionary definition of justice and liberty. Because I take issue with the liberty and justice for all, that blatant statement. Justice means just behavior or treatment, or the quality of being fair and reasonable.
I think that's what America is supposed to be striving for, but we don't always...
I don't know if we've hit
We don't
the
always
mark
meet
yet.
That goal, but I think it's what we're, like, it's what we're shooting for.
I mean, just, you know, when I think of, like, the people that are on death row that there's, I mean...
Ooh.
The evidence that put them there, or the Guantanamo Bay prison and how those people, we have nothing proving any terrorist acts on their part, yet we're still holding them there. I don't know if that's really the most justice-ridden situation on the world. Yeah. And Hannah?
Oh, yep. We have another guest, Hannah.
Hannah Johnston is also on the line. You can stay, Connor. We're going to have a big old discussion together.
Okay.
It'll be like a big party.
Also, reminder, if you want to call in, share your opinions about patriotism and whatnot, the number is 780-4909. That's 780-4909. Hannah?
Hello.
Do we have a Hannah?
Is she here?
If we don't have a Hannah, I can tell you what the definition of liberty is.
We'll go ahead with liberty, and maybe Hannah will join us in a sec.
Liberty means the state of being free within society from oppressive restrictions imposed by authority on one's way of life. Or, an instance of this is a right or privilege. Yeah. I would say that's I don't think we're doing very well with that one.
It's mostly a lot of these whole, like, America's not fair and just things have to do... I mean, like, a lot of them have to do with citizens, but a lot of them also have to do with, like, immigrants and people who are, like, we consider, like, outsiders. Like, we're just for treating our own people right and not for treating the world right. And I feel like that should be more of a goal. Like, not just justice for us, justice for everyone!
You know, yeah, and free from oppressive restrictions. Like, I can think of a lot of oppressive restrictions that are happening right now in this country. So I would say that's why I'm uncomfortable saying the Pledge of Allegiance and, like, standing with everyone else in my school and putting my hand over my heart and staring at a flag and reciting something. Apart from the fact that it feels creepy, it feels like a lie.
Yeah. So, Connor, do you think your idea of, like, perception of what patriotism is and means has changed since you've gotten older and maybe, like, become more educated about your country and stuff like that?
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think a few years ago, I remember there was a teacher who was very mad in middle school because one of the kids wouldn't do the Pledge of Allegiance, and I kind of thought, yeah, that is kind of weird and not okay. And now I sort of I'm coming to agree with you that there are some reasons why people might feel like it's actually a pretty good form of protest and a way of expressing their voice there, so that I don't really want to do the Pledge of Allegiance. And you know, there's a time when I thought that the whole idea that people are not treated with justice in this country and we don't totally have liberty. I thought that was kind of a false equivalence as far as, you know, people that don't want to be potentially just because of that. It's like, come on. But at the same time, people that don't do the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, people that get mad at people who don't do the Pledge of Allegiance, I don't think that's sort of a false equivalence, but they are sort of getting more upset about that than they do about the actual issues that refusing to do the Pledge stands for. I think, once again, that focuses on how patriotism is not the real conversation. It's just something people blindly do.
Mm-hmm. And we have Hannah with us now, I believe. Hannah? Hello? Hannah? Are you there? Hello? Maybe not. Okay. So, do you think, was there, like, a time in your life, maybe when you were younger, where you just were... you feel, like, patriotic and you loved your country, maybe blindly, maybe whatever. But, like, do you remember, like, a time when you were like, yeah, America?
to some degree after Osama bin Laden was killed. I thought it was kind of exciting how everybody was, you know, dancing in the streets and all. Years after that, I began to find it a little bit creepy. Like, at first I thought, like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, I used to, when I was younger, like, I thought, because, you know, America's all about, like, promoting this whole, like, we're a democracy. Like, I was, like, whatever, like, little, and I was like, America's the only place in the world that has a democracy, which is, like, not true. And so I thought it was, like, super cool, and we were so special and, like, fair to everyone. But there are, like, so many other types of governments that work fine that aren't democracies. Not that, like, I don't know, whatever, but... yeah, and there's a lot of things about our, specific government that don't work, but, like, when I was younger, I just thought it was all perfect. And, like, democracy was the way to go. And, like, yay, America, for being so unique.
Killing it. We're giving them rights. No one else has any rights.
I was like, I bet no other country is as free as us. Nope.
Izzy's wiggling her head in a Z-snap.
A little, like, finger shake. So, yeah.
We were talking about how you said a teacher was angry about someone not saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Do you think that, how do you think school and, like, the educational system affects, like, young people's view of patriotism and the, yeah, that. That's the end of the sentence.
Okay. So how does the school system affect people's, like, views of patriotism?
Yeah, you know, kind of like Christopher Columbus.
Because there's this
lines.
We're saying the Pledge of Allegiance in school, like, that's where it happens the most. I mean, right. I guess there are other places where you say the Pledge of Allegiance, but then they also, like, when you're younger, it's more just, like, general, like, Christopher Columbus discovered America, America's great, and then, like, but you get older, and high school still, a lot of high schools still have the Pledge of Allegiance, but they're also teaching you all these things that are, like, they're teaching you the truth, and it kind of, like, goes against a lot of conflicting things in high school and
I also feel like
higher education, college, stuff like that.
My history teacher, like, she teaches us the truth, and then she's, like, hesitant to teach us the truth, because she'll say Christopher Columbus wasn't the greatest man of all time, but he did discover America. Like, she'll, like, whisper the parts about him being, like, a terrible human being, and then, like, but he came over here and he discovered the heck out of us.
What do you think of Christopher Columbus, Connor?
That's like a loaded question. I mean,
Are you a fan? Are you a non-fan?
I'm enlightened enough to know that Christopher Columbus was not a good guy. Although lots of people, too many people are not aware of that.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of something that should change. As far as schools teach us about patriotism, I think a lot of it's actually a good message, mainly. Basically, the idea that even if we disagree politically, we are all concerned about one another, and we are all in this together, sort of. Although a lot of it's not the most sincere thing, and I don't think people really understand why they believe it, but something to bring people together.
Yeah, well, I think everyone likes to feel like they're part of, like, something bigger, like, and there's, like, someone supporting them, and by someone, I mean your entire country. but, yeah, so, we were talking a little bit about the Pledge of Allegiance before, and I have a thing. One time, I'm kind of half and half on the Pledge of Allegiance. Sometimes I'm, like, too lazy to say it, really. It's not really a political statement, I'm just tired in the mornings. And so, like, one time I didn't say it or something, and, like, a teacher started yelling at me, and she was like, why aren't you saying the Pledge of Allegiance? There are troops out there defending your, like, rights and stuff like that. And it's just not, like, what? It's, like, not the Pledge of Allegiance to, like, our military. It's the Pledge of Allegiance to our country. And also, like, what is people's obsession with telling you that, like, there are troops out there fighting for your rights? Like, thank you? I get it. Oh, okay, so, any last comments about military, Pledge of Allegiance, anything, Connor?
I'm not really sure what to say, except when, I think it's great that people think about our military a lot, because they do make sacrifices. I think it's also important that people talk about why they're being sent there and what they're doing. So that's all I really have to say.
Okay, well, thanks for talking to us.
All right, now we're gonna
listen to a video. This is a video made by some people who believe that the Confederate flag is not offensive and a very patriotic thing to show and wave, I guess. Waving flags, that's the thing, right? I don't know. So, yeah, we're going to listen to this video. There we go.
What the Confederate flag represented has been rather misinterpreted and misunderstood. It's taken on a meaning through the years that it did not originally have.
I fight for the Union as a reenactor. I have as much respect and honor for the rebels as I do for the Union people. I think those people were just as honorable as we are. They were fighting for a cause just like we were. It might have been different causes, but we were fighting for for a just cause. And it wasn't slavery.
There were several black soldiers fighting for the South, armed, and the one difference is the Confederates treated their black soldiers better than we did. They almost mutinied, and General Grant had to threaten to hang an entire regiment because they refused to fight next to a black regiment. Where in the Confederacy, their black soldiers got the same food, they fought side by side, they got the same weapons, they didn't have the same problems we had in our army.
My grandfather, Louis Napoleon Nelson, was a Confederate veteran. Come to him, 7th Cav, Tennessee. He rode with General Nathan Bedford Forrest. He saw action in Shiloh, Lookout Mountain. This is a 1921 Tennessee reunion. It's the original picture and frame. And look out now. My grandfather's over here. Another black gentleman named Mr. Buchanan from Memphis over here. This is a copy of my grandfather's application for pension in 1920. It was accepted. Number 32, colored man pension, state of Tennessee. And what he had to do is he had to verify the fact that he did serve. So did black Confederates fight? I think this, I rest my case with that.
The Confederate flag that we are most familiar with, which was known as the Southern Cross or the St. Andrew's Cross, was actually a flag of the military. It was never a flag of the Confederate States government. This flag was reserved for the military forces, the Army, the Navy, etc. Again, it was not a United States government flag. Therefore, it never flew over a slave ship. It was not a representative of the Confederate government. It has been misinterpreted over the years that have, since the 145 years of the Civil War that have gone by, other groups have used it in ways that it should not have been used, and it often became perceived by this misconception as, well, that stands for racism or slavery. The truth be known is that Confederate battle flag never officially stood as a representation of the Confederate government or any kind of slave power itself.
You know, if the war had gone the other way and we had lost, then it'd probably be the same sort of thing going on. You know, it's just the hatred against the Confederate flags is due to basically an ignorance of what they really stood for.
The red represents Christianity, Southern God-fearing people. You have another religious symbol, the St. Andrew's Cross, the blue for purity. And spread along the cross, you had the 13 stars representing the 13 states that seceded from the Union. The star in the center is most significant because it represents the state of Maryland. And its significance being that when it came time for the Maryland to vote, President Lincoln had the governor and the Maryland legislature locked up so they couldn't vote. A lot of people, even today, do not realize that Maryland is a southern state.
Okay, that was an interesting video. There was a lot of inspiring patriotic music in the middle.
I was dancing to it the whole time.
It was very upbeat and American.
Yeah, so those were some interesting things that they were saying. And again, we couldn't fact check any of that.
Yeah, some of it
we're not
may
100%.
Or may not have been true.
Sure.
We are not historians. I'm guessing neither are they.
I just feel real strongly about their flag and their heritage.
What do you think about the Confederate flag? Do you think they had a point or that it was all just like...
I don't know. Some of the things they said sounded a little bit
sketchy.
I don't know that, like, the Confederate soldiers treated their, like, African-American soldiers better than the Union did. I don't know. I do know that the Union was not very nice to their African-American soldiers at all. They gave them less of everything, and they were really mean, and they wouldn't let them fight with white people, and it was by no means the greatest.
Yeah. Well, nothing back then was really very, like, racially diverse or the greatest when it came to that.
It's true.
We have Hannah. She's here.
Hannah Johnston is here to talk to us. She is a rising senior at Chevres High School, also a very articulate and opinionated young woman. Hannah?
It was so synchronized. Hannah, are you there?
Hello?
Hello? All right. Well, we'll keep talking about the Confederate flag for now. I'm not personally a huge fan because people need to, like, move on. Also, like, racism and stuff. But they were like, oh, it doesn't stand for racism. And I guess if you, like, it all depends, I guess, on, like, what you think it stands for, which is such, like, a weird thing. Like, everyone thinks it stands for a different thing, but everyone's, like, waving it together and, like, you're not even agreeing on all this stuff.
Yeah, we learned.
And so I guess if you personally think the Confederate flag just stands for, like, patriotism and not, like, racism, then, like, fine, you're not a racist, congrats. But, like,
I don't know.
A lot of other people do.
I feel as though, like, if people are telling you that, like, that symbol offends them, you shouldn't try to defend it in that, like, I don't intend to make you feel bad with my Confederate flag. I'm not racist.
And they're also, like, it's, they're saying it's, like, a symbol for patriotism and how much they love America. But it's from a war and, like, a group of people who were tearing America apart.
Yeah.
And maybe that doesn't, like, you know, line up as much as I'd like it to.
I don't know. I think it's very interesting to talk because it's mainly from the South, the people that, like, feel strongly about the Confederate flag and think it's part of their culture. Like, in Southern, like, high schools, when they teach the Civil War, they call it the War of Northern Aggression. And, like,
ouch.
They learn it very differently from the way we do. Like, we learn it that, like, the North went in there and they fought to free all the slaves and then Lincoln freed them. Well, in fact, Lincoln didn't actually free all the slaves. He freed the ones just in the South, which he didn't technically have the authority to do. And he didn't free the ones in the border states because he wanted to stay friends with the border states and he didn't want to make them angry. Yeah. And so I think that, and then, you know, in the South, they teach that, like, the North came in and attacked us and, like, tried, like, burned all of our cities and killed all of the people.
And killed all the babies.
So I don't know if either side is really getting it 100% right, so maybe we should go to a middle state and see how they teach it.
There was that guy in the video who was like, I think that both sides were just in that they were, like, fighting for a cause that they believed in, which I guess is, like, a valid thing to say. I mean, I'm sure, like, everyone believes in stuff they're fighting for, or else you, unless you're, like, in the draft. But, like, it's, you know.
And most of the soldiers that were fighting, most of them didn't own slaves because it was just the really rich people that owned slaves and they weren't about to get their hands on dirty and bloody.
Yeah, slaves are expensive, man.
Yeah. And also, one of the men in the video was talking about how, according to him, one of the largest plantations was owned by a former slave.
I don't know about that. That seems,
that's,
I mean,
very,
like,
if
anything
could
happen, but that seems like a very strange fact that I feel like has never been brought up before.
Yeah.
And it probably would have been. It's just like a weird thing to say.
But, you know, I didn't know until this year that there was a movement to try to send African Americans back to Africa.
Wait, this year?
No.
No.
I learned about it this year.
Oh, I was
it
like, whoa, whoa, whoa,
during
whoa,
the
whoa.
Civil War era that they were like, we're sorry for bringing you here, but, like, it was like fourth generation. Like, they,
like,
weren't from,
like,
Africa.
Oh,
they were, like, born here.
That's just useless.
It was awkward. I didn't know about that. So maybe there are some hidden gem facts that we don't talk about up here in the
Why
North.
Don't you go visit all your friends that you don't have never met?
Exactly. We're going to send you back to this country you don't know anything about.
But yeah, so
what else did we have to say about Confederate flags?
Would you like to talk about your personal opinions on patriotism?
Yeah, Kathy? we still don't have a Hannah. I can talk about, sure. Well, actually, we read, I have my own personal break. Right now? We're going to go on a break and listen to
break.
Some music, and then I'll tell you about my personal opinions on patriotism.
Yes. It'll be
enticing.
Fun. Have fun.
Adios.
You're listening to WMPG and W281AC Gorham, Portland. I wanna make them all believe, believe, yeah.
So now you got the record, yeah. I've never seen it done better. Well, make sure our friends are well. Wrapped you like a banker. I think I'm leaving. Think I'll bring her. Swim up your liquor. We'll be out for days now. Just counting money in a new house. We're packed for flight time. Wrapped you like a banker.
Time now. never done. We're never done. Everything feels like touchdown on a rainy day. Part-time love is the life we're living. We're never done.
Hey guys, welcome back to Blunt Youth Radio. We're talking about patriotism today, and we would love your opinions on patriotism and anything having to do with that. So if you would like to share with us what you think, you can call in at 780-4909. That's 780-4909. Gabby was just telling us her opinions about things.
Yes. So we read an essay written by Emma Goldman, whose birthday was this week.
Who is Emma Goldman?
I'm not sure.
Okay.
She wrote a great essay, though. I liked it a lot.
Congrats, Emma Goldman.
So this is just an excerpt. It's about patriotism. It says, "Indeed, conceit, arrogance, and egotism are the essentials of patriotism. Let me illustrate. Patriotism assumes that our globe is divided into little spots, each one surrounded by an iron gate. Those who have had the fortune of being born on some particular spot consider themselves nobler, better, grander, more intelligent than those living beings inhabiting any other spot. It is, therefore, the duty of everyone living on that chosen spot to fight, kill, and die in the attempt to impose his superiority upon all others. The inhabitants of these other spots reason in like manner, of course, with the result that from early infancy the mind of the child is provided with blood-curdling stories about the Germans, the French, the Italians, the Russians, etc. When the child has reached manhood, he is thoroughly saturated with the belief that he is chosen by the Lord himself to defend his country against the attack or invasion of any foreigner." I was very surprised that Emma Goldman took those words right out of my mouth.
Oh, quick history lesson. Emma Goldman was Russian, and she was an anarchist and political activist. Also, she lived, like, a long time ago. Like, I'm pretty sure she's dead. Yep, she died in 1940. There we go.
Gosh, so ahead of her time. So that's kind of what my personal thoughts are, too. I think that, like, loving America too much means that everyone else becomes an other, and those others, like, a lot of times are thought to only want to bring harm upon us. And once you start thinking like that, it becomes justifiable for, like, our government to send unmanned planes with bombs to foreign countries to kill innocent children and civilians in the hopes of also possibly killing a potential terrorist, maybe, that we have no proof of.
You know, please, Gabby, tell us how you feel.
I know. It becomes, like, okay to hold people from foreign countries in a really scary prison on a crazy island somewhere. And even when you don't have proof of them being terrorists, you're still not going to let them go, and you're just going to continue torturing them, trying to get information out of them that you don't know they have.
Yeah. And so then sometimes America gets a little extreme in its fight for democracy or whatever it thinks it's fighting for. It thinks a country.
I have a problem with that, too, when, like, you're talking about history or just, like, anything. You're like, France decided to invade.
Yeah.
And, like, France is not a giant entity that thinks for itself. It's a mass of land. Like,
yeah, we're
the
talking
king
about, like,
of France maybe decided to do something, but I don't think France itself hopped up on its little country legs and, like, walked over to invade Italy.
Yeah, we were talking the other day about, like, what is a country? Because, like, technically it's just, like, a piece of land that, like, a government owns. But, like, people, when they say, like, oh, I'm fighting for my country, they're not like, I'm fighting for this grass over here. They're, like, they're talking about, like, their friends and, like, the people and what their, like, idea of their country is, which I guess in America a lot is, like, freedom and democracy and, like, all that stuff.
And my problem is just that, like, anyone could have happened to be born anywhere. Like, you could have happened to be born in Iran and then all of a sudden it's okay for us to go and, like, kill you, and it's not that upsetting because, you know, you're not an American. You live in another plot of land.
Okay, we have a guest.
Thomas Woodman is,
our next
lost
guest.
It already.
He
where is his intro?
Has done right many here. Things he's, in his life.
He's an ex-Marine, Vietnam War veteran, and retired U.S. Coast Guard Senior Chief Petty Officer. He currently works for DHHS, which, to our information, means that he investigates hospitals and possible wrongdoing.
Yes, that's what we've
Is
heard.
Is that true, Thomas?
Secondhand.
Well, actually, that is true, yeah. I don't know about investigate. Well, yes, it's the job that I have right now is really to just make sure that hospitals are safe and, you know, and do those inspections and for licensing for Medicare and stuff. So, and we help the facilities and stuff that we work with.
That's
very
cool.
Nice. Congrats on that. All right. So
it's not as as scary as it sounds.
All right. So our first question is, do you consider yourself to be patriotic?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
And what would you say is your, like, definition of patriotism and what it means to you? Like, what do you think patriotism is?
Well, patriotism, it's a feeling, okay? It isn't like a mathematical formula where you turn around and say, okay, well, when you have this and you have this and you have this, then you have patriotism.
Mm-hmm.
What patriotism is it's like... it's that feeling that you get when you really feel that you belong to something that's wonderful. It's that feeling. I feel patriotic about the United States of America because, you know, despite all of the things that people say and all the things that are going on throughout the world, one of the great things about the United States of America is that we live in a society where not everybody has to think exactly the same way. Everybody is free to express their views and their opinions. They don't have to worry about the secret police coming around, and when they're saying something against whatever the ruling party is, they can suffer job loss or they can suffer imprisonment. And, you know, we're in a country where people in other countries, you know, people that come here, live here, they're looking for opportunity. They're able to express themselves. You know, I'm lucky enough to have been born an American, you know, and therefore, and all of us, we take a lot of things for granted, the rights and responsibilities that we have that we either exercise or we don't are things that are dreamed about by people all over the world. That feeling that you get when with your neighbors, with your friends, the things that you do well, and the experiences that you have, how we take care of each other. Sure, there are a lot of things in the world where, you know, we have these weird things with, you know, with of course with Gitmo and with, you know, atrocities that happen all over the world, mm-hmm. with wars. We don't get into wars. I don't think we get into wars just because we're Americans and we can get into wars. I certainly wouldn't agree to that, and I've been in similar situations. But I think that feeling that you get where, well, yeah. Anyway, that's what I think patriotism.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. And then, so why do you think it's important for people to be patriotic about the country? Like, what does it help do? Why should everyone be patriotic? Or why shouldn't they, I guess, if you think people don't have to be? Like, what do you think on that?
Well, I think people need to sit back and think about all of the wonderful things that they have, all of the opportunities that they have, all of the things that we have that other people all over the world don't have.
Mm-hmm.
It's and to actually look and see the things that we do for other countries and the good things that we do for other countries, the way that people look at us. We have an opportunity to be leaders in the things other than some of the things we've become famous for lately.
Yeah.
I mean, when you look at, I know several people, I know lots of people that actually go to other countries, to third world countries, and donate their time and money and help villages. They help people that don't have any health care. They don't have dental care. You know, they spend their time doing that, and they do that because they can, because they have that opportunity to be able to do that. They have that ability. I think that people need to sit back and think about all of the wonderful things and the opportunities that they and their family have and get to enjoy. And I think if you do that, then that is what patriotism is.
Yeah. So this is a little bit what you were talking about before, but we were talking earlier about what, like, quote-unquote country is, like, what it means, like, when people saying, like, I'm fighting for my country, what, like, your country is, because technically country is just, like, some land. What do you think country is? Like, what does the word represent? What do you think, like, my country?
I think it represents the people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that when, the flag is a symbol.
Yeah.
The country is a symbol, but it's a symbol of the people. It's a symbol of the society. It's a symbol of what we sacrificed for over what we fought for to begin with in a Revolutionary War, for mm-hmm. that freedom and the right to be able to do that, and what we're willing to do to keep that.
Okay, yeah.
So, I mean, that's mm-hmm. that's what our country is. Our country is really our society. It's not like the earth or the
yeah.
dirt and ground. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
And I heard you talking a lot when you answered the first question about we're allowed to say what we want and we don't have to think the same things, you know, like freedom of speech, freedom
yeah.
of the press, and then also about our military. And we hear a lot, we talked about this earlier, people saying, like, you should say the Pledge of Allegiance. It supports the military, and the military is out there fighting for your rights. Do you believe that is what, like, currently that's the main goal of the military, is that, like, they are actively fighting to keep our freedom of speech, like, free and there for us? Or do you think someone is trying to take that away from us and it needs to be defended? Or
do you think there's other things that we're fighting for that we don't talk about as much?
Well, probably the latter part there, quite frankly.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think it would be difficult to draw a correlation between, you know, what's going on in Afghanistan and Iraq and stuff to a direct threat to our freedom, you know, in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think there's more to it than that, obviously. I think there's I think there's other possibilities there. I mean, I can't say exactly, but, I mean, if I were to say, it certainly isn't the same as, you know, having a country that was trying to take over the entire world, say, like Nazi Germany in World War II, you know, and Japan.
Mm-hmm.
Those were different. Those are different times and different wars, and that really is what we were doing. Is we really were fighting to defend our way of life.
Yeah, because when people like say to me like the soldiers are out there fighting for your rights, I always like immediately think of like the Revolutionary War, which is like not really recent at all. It was like, I don't know, a few hundred years ago. But what do you think we're mostly fighting for right now? Like, what do you think our goal is?
I honestly couldn't tell you. I mean, I really don't. I mean, as far as, you know, as far as drawing a correlation between that and, you know, it's certainly, I mean, our soldiers and stuff are over there fighting. They're doing their duty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They're giving all that they have. You know, it's, like, you know, of course, I retired from the Coast Guard, and I was in the Marine Corps. I mean, there is a large population of military service people who are willing to go out there and answer a call to duty, no matter what, no matter where it is, and really willing to fight and die, because that is their duty to this country, and that's what we've done. You know, the Coast Guard today, they'll go out in the thick of hurricanes and stuff, and the motto is, you have to go out, but you don't have to come back. And they're out there doing that for, you know, for strangers, for people that you may never, ever know, but you'll do it because that's your duty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and this is not completely on topic, but you were saying, you know, you are very patriotic, and the 4th of July is coming up, and the big symbol of our country is, of course, the flag. And I know one thing we talked about in history class this year was people who think, like, the right to burn the flag and whether or not that it should be a crime.
Lot of people think that burning the flag is, like, I've never met anyone who's been like, yeah, let's go burn some flags. Like, nobody I've ever met has been, like, down with that.
No.
Do you think
no,
think
I
should be illegal?
You know, that's an antagonistic thing to do, you know, when you're going out there. It's just like somebody coming up to you and saying, oh, well, I'm going to spray paint the side of your house or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, our American flag, as I say, it's a symbol, and it really stands for something. So, but it is a symbol, you know. Quite frankly, you know, a flag, the way that a flag is usually actually retired is by burning, by showing respect. There's a ceremony that you go through. Your American Legion does that every year. They collect old flags, and they will retire those flags or burn them, and they'll do them in a, you know, in a respectful way. So, they're just the act of burning the flag, you know, in other countries and stuff. Well, you know, I mean, what? You know, what can you say about that when somebody wants to get into an argument, then they'll do whatever they can if they think that they can get your goat. But I think we're pretty much above that, to be honest with you.
Yeah. And so is the 4th of July an important holiday to you? Like, do you feel like it's really important to celebrate? Are you a big fan of it?
Well, yeah, I do. I really think that the 4th of July is an important holiday because it represents, for the first time in the world, where people fought for and gained their freedom and have been fighting for it ever since.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks so much for talking to us.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right. We have another guest. Yes, Gabe is here.
Hello.
Hi. Hi, Gabe. Gabe is my brother. He is a college junior at this point, I think.
Rising junior.
It's summertime. Yay! All right. So you have been in France for how long?
Well, I was
he was in France.
I was in France for 6 weeks. I'm currently now in London.
Okay. So how long have you been in?
I've been in London for about 3 days, and what's actually pretty funny is that I'm spending the 4th of July in London. So that'll be fun.
Yeah. Should be very American. That was a joke. All right. So, Gabe, do you consider yourself to be patriotic?
I do consider myself to be pretty patriotic. I consider myself to have, you know, respect for my country, but, you know, I think it depends on what you mean by what your definition of patriotism is. I think, you know, to be patriotic, you have to have, you know, a respect for your country. You need to, you know, realize that, you know, you're a proud citizen of wherever you are. And I also think there are certain aspects of patriotism which, you know, aren't necessarily shown in, pop culture. You know, like when you look at, you know, what the average person's definition of patriotism might be, it might be, you know, like, you need to be standing by the country no matter what it does in terms of everything that happens, and you always need to be by its side. And I think it's actually a very patriotic gesture when you look at things that the country is doing and applying your own criticisms to them. If you see something that the country is doing wrong that doesn't necessarily go with what the moral code or the law code that it is, that already was put down, then I think that by analyzing as a citizen what your country is doing is actually very patriotic to do.
So
I do consider myself to be patriotic.
Yeah, so you don't think that being more educated or more in the know about your country makes you less patriotic?
No, I actually think that makes you more patriotic. Cause
I agree with that point. I think that's a good point.
That is a great point.
Patriotic to give constructive criticism.
Because you're then able to use your own personal knowledge in terms of realizing what your country can, one, do for you, and how you as a part of your country are actively working toward, you know, whether or not it survives or it falls. And
so,
I think that being an active citizen and being educated about what happens is actually one of the best and most authentic ways to be patriotic.
So do you think it's do you think it's important for everyone to be patriotic about their country?
I think it's important for everyone to, one, you know, I mean, know about what country, you know, they're living in, and, you know, have a basic knowledge of what's going on. But I also think it's important for people to be, to find their own space in which to be patriotic. I mean, there are different levels of patriotism. There are different varying, you know, strengths of patriotism. And I think it's very important for somebody to find what level suits them and what way of being patriotic suits them. Because if not, it's so easy for people to fall into this trap of being, I mean, I would almost call it too patriotic, which is, you know, looking at things that your country does, and even if they're wrong, turning a blind eye to them. Mm-hmm. And
oh, Gabe, I'm just going to cut you off for a sec. We have a caller, yeah. Sasha from Portland.
Hello? Hi, guys. Well, you know, the topic of patriotism is very, very interesting. And, you know, when I think of patriotism, I think about what it means to me. And as someone who came to this country, it talks about opportunity. For me, patriotism is not necessarily agreeing with everything the nation does, mm-hmm. but being an American and what that means to me. And it's about maybe sticking to your beliefs, and maybe you don't agree with what the government does, but you stand with the people who work for it, like our troops, and, yeah, yeah. you know, we may not like wars, but we can at least stand for our troops and what they do.
All right, well, thank you for sharing your opinion with us.
Sure.
Sasha.
All right, that was Sasha from Portland. Gabe, you're still here, right?
Yes.
Okay, great. So, when you were in France for your 5 weeks, did you find yeah. that the people of France, the French, were more patriotic? The Franks? I don't know. Did you think they were more patriotic or less than us?
I found that as a whole, they were very patriotic as a whole, but at the same time, they were much less outwardly patriotic mm-hmm. than I think we are.
They were more like quietly supporting their country.
You know, there's a respect for the country, which is definitely there. But it wasn't so much sort of, you know, going around wearing, you know, shirts with their flag emblazoned on it and, you know, saying, you know, if you don't believe in this country as much as I do, then you're not a patriot. It was sort of this very subtle patriotism. And France has a lot to be patriotic for, because if you look at their history, I mean, they were invaded in the last, you know, 100 years. So, and they were completely, you know, taken over by another government in the past 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when you look at, you know, the history track of France, there's actually a lot more, I think they're actually more justified in being more overtly patriotic than maybe even the United States could be. But the fact that they are so subtle about it, I actually find to be very admirable. It's something where you know that you're French and you can feel a connection to other people because you're French, but it isn't necessary to make a big deal out of it. And I really respect that.
So has your view of patriotism in America or in general changed since you've been there?
Since I've been in France?
Yes.
In terms of
like
what?
Your perception like, of like how you think people show it. Like, are you like, oh, Americans are so ridiculous now that I see the French? Or like, you know.
I don't think Americans are ridiculous. I mean, one thing that, you know, I find that a lot of people do, and maybe this is just me finding this, but I find that if you there are a certain amount of people in the United States and also in the world at large who, you know, if they talk about something Americans do, everyone will just sort of be like, oh yeah, that's right, Americans, oh, they're so they do this and they do that, and I will admit there are plenty of faults with our country, but I believe that you can love a country, but you can still acknowledge what's wrong with it. And you can love a system of living, and you can love a way of having respect for the place you are, but still maintaining an atmosphere of being able to discern. It's really about thinking for yourself.
Okay.
And I mean, yeah, and I mean, for what I've really learned, you know, is for luckily, we live in a country that, you know, at least up, at least, you know, as
yeah,
far
okay.
as it's been around, tells us we can think what we want.
Yeah,
you're
okay.
very intelligent.
Thank you. Thank you, Furin, for Gabe. It was super awesome. Thanks for talking to us.
Hey, no problem.
All right.
Thank you, Jimmy.
I'm Izzy. This is Gabby. Thanks, hey, Ava, for engineering.
First
it was
time.
Awesome.
You did a great
you're
job.
So talented. Huh? This is Blend Youth Radio. Bye!
Thank you for listening to